laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps. What am I doing with my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands, but we're back at it again. Imola recap, Monaco preview. But of course, as always, right next to me, we got Joe, our co-host. Joe, what is popping?
Doing pretty good. I think you're just making up for the lack of excitement during that dang Imola race, unfortunately.
And we got another one coming up.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Got to do something with make it exciting, I guess. Mm. But anyway, moving right along. Cole, how's your week been?
Good, good. Is that a Will Ferrell throwback there?
Yeah. What was that from? Talladega Nights. I don't know what to do with my hands. Just keep them down. Yeah. So anyway, and anyway, Cole, how's your week?
Good. Raining again. I don't know what it is about these podcasts, but every time we get poured on, I feel like these days. So I was hoping we'd get a storm, but we didn't. So.
We did. It just is not the storm done and over with, and it wasn't that intense like they said it was going to be.
And not the storm we were looking for.
Well, for you guys, yeah, for sure. No doubt. Right next to him, obviously, we got Tyler. Tyler, what's going on?
Not much, man. Just getting the house ready to get moved in here. It's a lot of work.
You haven't moved in yet?
No.
When is that?
In a perfect world this weekend, but that depends on how fast I can get this family room floor done.
Fair enough.
Hit me up. Congrats. Lady's going down to Texas. I'll help you out.
Bet.
Congrats.
Thanks.
And as always... Not even as always, because I always forget, actually. So as always, I have forgotten, but I will not this time. Kev, behind the cameras, puts this whole thing together. Thanks a lot, buddy. Let's just move right into the Imola recap. Is it Imola or Imola? Imola. Am I the only one that says Imola?
Imola. Should like I Ebola? Break out the full name again?
Yeah. The RSC Emilio.
Imola, I think, is... Yeah.
Imola. All right. So, Imola, recap. Let's just head right into Red Bull right off the bat. Verstappen obviously getting the dub. But if you saw the race, those last five laps, he was kind of getting threatened. But we'll stick with Red Bull, and then we'll definitely talk McLaren right after that. In my opinion, I think Verstappen's skill straight up won the race in those final, like, 10 laps. It seemed like he was really struggling with the car. Lando closed on him. Then Verstappen kind of gained some more pace back with like four laps to go. But then Lando was charging again. So what were your guys' take on Verstappen's closeout kind of the race?
Yeah, his car was falling apart. Like, it was just getting worse and worse as the race kind of got on, as soon as, you know, it was about those 25 laps left. And I would agree with you. I mean, it's not often Max has to turn into a defensive driver. He's always going to be an aggressive driver, but for him to actually throw the defense on and prevent Lando from making that pass. But, I mean, Checo, if we're going to bring the other Red Bull into it, terrible weekend. Just terrible weekend for the performance you should see out of Red Bull. And then for him to come in after the race and say that Imola is not an F1 track. It's not meant for overpassing, which it isn't. It makes sense. There's only one DRS zone, but like you say that as you're going into the pinnacle of racing in Monaco.
And you mean you have the best car right now. That's why you have the qualifying, so you don't have to worry about that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I want to jump back on what you were saying, Tyler, around Verstappen at the end of the race. Obviously, he raced a great race. I think everybody was rooting for Lando to get within that 1 second, the two laps ago. Everybody was rooting for that. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit with the dirty air and everything. Being a little bit more difficult to get there. And it was all basically around the tire degradation, right? Did I say that word right?
As far as I know.
Tire deg, yeah.
Degradation?
Tire degradation. Tire deg's easier.
Yeah. But I think as far as Verstappen, it was a good race. I don't know. I wanted Lando so bad at the end there. I've never rooted for somebody so hard that I don't really root for normally. hand in the air. But it was... Again, it was a boring race. Verstappen kind of just did what he did, and it's tough. It sucks.
Yeah, very boring race. I'm pretty peeved we didn't see a lot of movement just throughout the field in general, especially within the top 10. In terms of Verstappen, I guess I'm a little surprised. I'm not super surprised. His weekend really wasn't looking good up until qualifying when he pulled in the fastest lap. Everyone was kind of expecting, you know, maybe this is another race where he gets second, but... Yeah, he pulled out of his hat. I agree. I think it was a lot of skill. He managed his tires well up until the very end. And then Lando proved that he managed his tires better and then pushed maybe a little too hard. I think the dirty air is a really good point. Yeah, just kind of maybe got a little bit too much in there. But two laps more and we would have seen a fight from him. I think that would have been cool.
100%.
Yeah, a fight would have been interesting. Sorry, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but I was just looking here. Usually we don't have the spreads on the seconds.
Yeah.
And we have that in front of us here now. I Oscar for a majority of the race was catching up to Leclerc. Am I wrong?
He was.
I didn't even notice it was that big of a gap at the end of the race.
Yeah, I think his first stint was better than his second, but yeah, Oscar was putting in a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not to jump back to Red Bull real quick. Do you think two things? First, Verstappen, do you think Verstappen's feeling any sort of, I don't even want to call it pressure because he's world class and the best driver on the grid right now, but unless you talk to Cole, but
I would call it pressure.
Yeah, you think he's feeling at least a little bit of pressure right now? Like somebody's starting to challenge him.
He hasn't had an actual true challenger. I mean, even Checo hasn't been a challenger in 2 full years.
Yeah.
The end of the year last year when Sainz got his win, like it was, the championship was decided. Verstappen had nothing more to race for.
Sure.
Like he already had like the most wins in a season, the most whatever. He had all the records he could fight for. And yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that he took that race off by any means. I mean, the strategy won that race for Sainz last year, but it's just, he hasn't had this short of challenge since he was fighting Lewis for the championship. And that was what, 21?
That sounds right.
Yeah,
that sounds correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
When the whole world stopped.
Yeah, it was 21. 100% it was 21. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's some other cars we'll get into in a little bit that didn't make the big jump, but I mean, yeah, I think I agree with Tyler. He 100% is feeling the pressure right now, and it's a different ball game when you're racing against a car that can keep up. Like, how is he going to compete with Lando? You know, I mean, if Lando can keep performing how he's doing, and to be honest, Oscar's performing a lot better than probably a lot of people thought he would in this car.
Oh, yeah, Oscar's performing just fine. He's just had bad luck.
It was, I wouldn't even call it bad luck. Like, it was his impeding in qualifying. When he impeded Magnussen, cost him a podium this race.
True.
Like, he had that three, he qualified ahead of Lando. He qualified P2 and had the three-place grid penalty. And then it's hard to catch two Red Bulls and your teammate.
So I don't know if I didn't hear this or not, but I didn't hear any Red Bull communication around at the end of the race, like, you got to go, he's catching up, or anything like that.
Oh, it was, yeah.
What,
so,
they did? I must have missed
I thought
that
they
one.
Just kind of let him do his thing.
Came in and said, like, Lando is doing this or whatever, and then, like, Max had his little snarky response, and GP was like, it's just information, and then Max's response, and then, because Max was like, something with the tires, and then Max's response back was like, it's just, like, this, he, like, mimicked GP when he was saying, God, he's just such a snarky little...
But you're dialed in, though. Like, if, like... He should know that Lando's charging. You got to know that. So maybe you know if you got to push a little bit more. But other than that, yeah, shut the heck up.
Nah,
like,
you
got
to let him know,
man.
The gap that Lando was, how quick he was closing. Because then it comes down to like strategy, too. How are we going to save the battery? Battery levels matter. And they had that communication
at
the end.
And that was
the
thing at the end.
I thought it was going to be bigger.
Right. When they started mentioning it, I was like, oh, snap.
They doubled the battery. The McLaren had 60 and the Red Bull had 30. And it is... I don't know. I hate that because I think there should have been more communication around that. That's something I think I want to see, more communication around that. When Max just kind of dismisses it, it's not as fun to kind of see.
Yeah.
But like, it also shows, like, if that's not a perfect sign of pressure, then I don't know what
for
it is.
Sure.
You know, that's a perfect sign of showing there's pressure.
At the end of the day, too, Lando's one of the most light guys on the grid, right? Always smiling. Mm-hmm. He had snarky responses back to his engineer this race.
Yeah, he did.
It was like Max level smart. I mean, it was in Lando's tone, so it's not just naturally snarky.
It's not naturally snarky.
You know, but it was still, Lando was just like, basically, leave me the hell alone.
Because they're dialed in, dude. Lando knew exactly, like, again, tell him how close he's getting, maybe, but like, they were dialed in.
But like, I guess that goes back to the point, was Max feeling pressure? Does he feel pressure now? Absolutely, because, I mean, I think it's without a question, Lando had pressure and felt pressure in that race to catch up, perform, and not mess up. Because all it takes is one slip up, and all of a sudden he's not in second. You know, something happens.
Or finishing the race, or finishing the race at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Like me on F1, but one little... And actually, those last few laps, what do they call it in F1? When not oversteer or anything, but like when the wheel jerks back real quick. They
traction control.
No, they have a term for it, and I can't.
ABS?
No. Yeah. It's like a weird term for it. But anyway, like it kept happening to Lando because he was just pushing that hard in and out of every corner, braking late. Like, the dude was pushing.
He was pushing it,
but,
hard.
But, I mean, if you saw the cockpit view or the TV pod view or whatever.
That's such a cool camera.
I love it. But, like, if you go back and look, those last couple laps, his hands are snapping hard. And it's not
oversteer. It's oversteer, no, it is.
But
it just depends on where it is and which
for it.
No,
whatever.
It is. It's exactly that.
They just
have an understeer, and then
it?
That's when you have that correction.
Nah. They definitely got a term for it that everybody else uses. But
back to your point about, like, the pressure and, like, the speed and stuff like that. When you have, like, a second speed, right? Like, the kicker is the first lap when he started really gaining, he gained, like, over a second to Verstappen. So, obviously, Verstappen's upset, and he should be because he's just like, I want to lock in here. But if he doesn't get the information, you saw the first couple laps, it was a huge jump up. And
right,
then all of a sudden,
right,
it was a gradual jump to catch him.
And then Verstappen even put in a couple lap times quicker than Lando.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, 3-4 laps left to go, and then Lando
second.
Started
yeah.
closing again.
Yep.
Yeah,
but
he didn't let him get that second until he depleted his battery.
But you're right,
100%.
If you don't know, how are you supposed to know if you should be really trying to send this thing?
Yeah.
And just real quick to wrap up Red Bull, do you think Checo starting on hards was a big reason why he didn't finish higher? Because when he switched to mediums, he came out at like 11th place or something like that with like 30 laps, nah, not even like 25 laps left, and he was able to climb back into points. He's not passing top class,
but
you know, cars,
but with hards on that are used when he has fresh mediums.
True, right?
Because it was like everybody's like strategy was just switched with Checo because he just went longer with the hards, and then as those hards wore down, he put on fresh mediums as the hards were wearing down for the others.
Should they have gone quicker? Like, do you think he could have finished in front of the Mercs if he would have, you know, not ran the hards as long,
no.
or if that wasn't their strategy, you
don't think
it would have made a difference
no. with how the tire.
That's kind of what he's blaming his off race on.
I would say maybe if the tire deg wasn't so bad for Max, who had the other strategy,
sure.
Right? And I think that might have had a play in it.
You think either way though, it was just a rough race for Red Bull. Yeah, they won, but it wasn't great.
No, I mean a 1-8, or
and but
yeah,
even
1-8
and
not
even
a good
the one
for
like
Red
we
Bull.
Were like we've been just talking, and now we're gonna go in and talk about Lando and Oscar, but. Obviously, like, even that one is kind of suspect heading into a weekend that you need a really good qualifying to finish, well.
And me and Tyler were talking about this, I think, Monday, so yesterday. like, the point gap right now between, like, Red Bull and Ferrari and Red Bull and McLaren and the constructors is not that crazy.
Well, and we'll talk about that next show, I think. Let's do another rundown of Constructors and Driver Champion. But you're making a really good point, dude. Like, I mean,
it's a lot closer than you think at this point. 100%. Than you would think with how dominant Max has been this year. It's a lot closer than you'd think.
Yeah, from what we've been seeing the past few years where we're just so used to just running away with it. But
just a quick note on that, just because I'm looking at it. What surprises me is it's closer between Red Bull and Ferrari than Ferrari and McLaren.
What? Nuh-uh. It's close. Really?
It is. So it's a 56 point gap between Red Bull and Ferrari. It is a 66 point gap between McLaren and
I'm no Ferrari fan. Ferrari. But I would love to see a Ferrari win this week. Might as well just give it to Charles. Let him win in his home.
Finally.
Oh, that would be so bittersweet.
Oh, in like, Monaco?
Yeah.
And his little Pinto he drives around over there.
Yeah. But let's quick stay on Imola, not Imola. McLaren. I mean, obviously, we've already touched on. We don't need to spend too much more time on them, but I'd say exactly what we were looking forward to this weekend as far as McLaren goes. What do you McLaren fans think?
Oh, yeah.
You American hypocrites.
They are, I mean, happily, they are keeping their pace up. They're still going really strong. Lando able to, I mean, literally almost fight Max at the end. It was another race where Max isn't gaining, like, up until the end of the race. People were actually gaining up on him, you know?
Sure. I mean, a couple more laps. Do you honestly feel he would have caught him? Or would have Max still been able? And that's, dude, with the tire wear, too, that's so relative, right? But, like, I'm just saying, like, if there's four more laps.
Two more laps, Lando wins that race.
Yeah.
Because he gets into DRS and is
he
now.
He got into with 7 seconds of the finish.
I don't know. I think.
The Red Bull tires were only getting worse, and the way McLaren had handled their tires, dude,
two more laps, knowing how close it is to the end of the race, we didn't get to see Verstappen really defend against Norris. Norris had only just caught up to him. that close to the end of the race.
But there's one Verstappen's getting is wide. He's a good defender, though. But we haven't really seen true defense from him since 2021 or whatever.
Yeah, that track though, there's one spot to pass on that track, and it's the DRS zone coming out of the first turn there. And it's like at the end of the day, there's no way to defend. You can make the move to dip down,
but when a driver's on DRS,
yeah.
But Max, would have Max been crazy aggressive with it with the condition of his tires?
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think so.
Do they both end up wrecking? Like,
but it's just,
I don't know. I'm not trying to say that Max
can't
is
really
a wrecker.
You can't defend DRS nowadays.
Because he's not. You can't defend it? Oh.
At the end of the day, it's like,
because
you only get one move, right? You can only sway one way before you can't, like, to go back. Yeah. So you make that one move, you get that outside or inside. Depends on who's later on the brakes.
Got to hit him with the juke move.
Yeah.
Watch our NFL play.
I think it all came down to him just having DRS. If Lando hits DRS on him on a full straightaway right there on the DRS
spot. If he's within 0.7 going into the DRS.
Yeah.
Probably closer, actually, because I don't think even with DRS, I think you get close to him near the end of that straight. I don't know if you pass him. And it would need to be on the second to last lap because the DRS zone, like the start of the DRS zone is so close to the finish that you're not going to get in the last. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. It would have been a lot of strategy talks. We talked about that 60% to 30% battery, right? So Lando had the power to do it. I want to see them like really like head to head fight a little bit more. We saw Lando run off Max, maybe with damage. I don't want to take Lando's win away from him. Obviously he earned it, but I want to see a head to head between him and Max and really see who takes it.
It sucks. The next race is what it is. Obviously it's a fun race. We'll get into that in a bit, but it sucks. That is what it is because reality is there's not really going to be a fight on that race like this.
No, but the outlook of the season is looking way more interesting than it did when we were first starting the show this year.
You get to these tracks that have, two, three or like three DRS zones. It's going to be a fun battle then.
It's going to be wild.
It's like almost to the point now where so many times last year, if Max was, you could argue in the top 15, he's winning that race. And this year, like if he's in the top five, if he's not at first and he's down like the fifth, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be so easy for him just to come in and blow it away.
He won't blow it away, but it'll be some battling for sure.
That's
and
that's
the type of battle I'd like to see is somebody else in the lead and Max trying to battle back.
Yeah.
That would be the true. We already know he's great, but that would be like the true test. This dude is still battling cars that are almost getting to that equal point as the Red Bull, and Max is using his skill to continue to beat them. That would say something. Again, nothing that there needs to be said right now because he's still the best on the grid.
Right.
Unless you're Cole. Again. So let's just talk about Ferrari real quick. Charles getting the podium. Allegedly first podium since 06 in Imola. And take a wild guess who that would have been.
I'm pretty sure I know it, so I'll let you guys go.
Bobby Schmerda.
Oh, it's...
Bobby Schmerda.
Wait, are you sure it's 06? Yeah. It's Schumacher, obviously.
At Imola, specifically.
At Imola, it's their first podium.
Actually, I think it was called San Marino in 06. Anyway.
We were just talking about this guy off right before we started filming.
The Italian
Bobby Schmerda?
GP, I believe, is what it was technically.
Bobby Schmerda, we were just talking about him.
But yeah, Schumacher, yep. Yep. And then...
Schumacher?
Are we surprised with how Ferrari performed this weekend? Considering all the practices and heading in quali, are we that surprised at their final spots?
The car's definitely faster, but I don't think it was as big of a jump as we thought, No, it wasn't 4/10.
Carlos came out and said it was overhyped.
Yeah.
He's quoted saying that everything was overhyped.
Yeah.
He was saying, I've been saying all week that the upgrades aren't as big as what they are. I just can't tell you the times.
He also called Imola a McLaren circuit, but I don't believe that in a minute.
Wait, he said that?
Carlos Sainz quoted, on Sky Sports F1. It was he was quoted saying that it was a McLaren circuit.
That's insane because that track, it was literally designed, built, and made to test the Ferrari. It's 10 miles away from, it's named after one of the freaking...
2006 Ferrari, maybe, I guess.
You can look it up, but definitely a reason why I put it down, and I even sourced Sky Sports after that. So, he said that, and I think it was pre-race, though. I don't know if that was post. It might have been pre-race. That's when you're racing out of McLaren circuit, blah, blah, blah type deal.
You cannot say that as a Ferrari driver.
He's not a Ferrari driver anymore.
Oh, that's true. He's not.
He can say whatever he wants.
That's true.
He's going out like Vettel went out.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, he's Kimi and Vettel in their last 100. Years.
Not Kimi. I mean, Kimi just didn't say anything. Well, Vettel was a little salty.
Just to stay on Carlos, at some point in the race, I think it was actually earlier than I thought, but Carlos did come on the comms and was saying, like, these McLaren cars are fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was talking about Oscar.
Yeah, he was talking about Oscar.
Talking about Oscar specifically.
It's tough to see how well he started off the year to where he's performing and like competing at this stage of the year.
Who are you talking about, Carlos?
Carlos.
Yeah,
it's tough to see that.
Like, it's surprising.
Every week, instead of Leclerc, I've been putting Carlos because I'm like, he's gonna have a comeback. He's gonna have a comeback. I keep putting him on my podium. He's gonna have his comeback week, and it never happens.
Do you think the strategies are extremely different between Leclerc and Carlos, or not so much? I don't know. Like, I'm not a McLaren fan.
I'm sorry,
a Ferrari fan. So I'm not going super in depth on it. But do you think they're running different strategies?
Ferrari seems to kind of, based on the race, at least watching it, they kind of base it on who's the better driver that race. I mean, every time it's
probably how you should do it.
We're gonna favor it this way. This guy's gonna pit first. This guy's gonna they favor it based on the better driver. So I don't think it's based on that. I think Leclerc's just been racing better recently.
Sure, I mean, fair enough. Can Carlos beat out Leclerc this weekend, you think, in Monaco?
Let's talk about that when we get to Monaco.
I don't think so. We can. Yeah, 100%. Good call. That's what we should be. Okay. Well, we'll wait then. He's got some stuff to say. Merck finishing 6 and 7.
Did I say 8 and 9 or 7, 8?
For what? Merck?
Yeah.
In last.
I think I said 7 and 8 as well earlier. Okay. So, no, they did finish 6 and 7. Obviously, in front of Checo, which might have been because of strategy. Who knows?
I put one of them outside of the 10th. That was wrong. My bad.
And George with the fastest lap.
Yeah. They definitely, like, I mean, they meant to do that. They put him into the pits just to get that.
Just to
fast
get,
lap
no, for sure.
Because he had the time to do it.
How many points you get again for fast lap? I know I've asked that
point,
before.
It's interesting. We were talking about this. The commentators were talking about this. He was ahead of Hamilton.
Yes.
And he finished behind Hamilton because he went to get that fastest. What is the point difference between 6th and 7th? It's not a single point, is it? 2 points? So he lost out on a point. Grand scheme of things, he's still ahead of Hamilton. Probably not the biggest deal, but I know he was talking about it on the radio for at least a little bit.
100% he was. And I thought, did he straight up ask if Lewis would give him a spot back? And they pretty much said no.
Ooh,
I could have sworn I saw that, but I could completely be wrong in making
again,
that
Again, I was watching
up,
the race with someone. I can't remember. I know it was brought up. I can't remember if it was brought up by the person
or did
I was
the commentators
with,
just
the
bring
commentator
it up. But it was definitely something on the TV.
Yeah.
Like somebody brought that up, and I don't know if it was comms or the commentators, but I could have sworn that George did ask, because, ask him, like, if I get back out or if I box, will Hamilton give me my spot back? And I'm pretty sure they said no. And then they said box for George to get that fastest lap. But
interesting.
That is interesting. So is that just like a little bit of, if it's true, right? If it's true, is that just a loyalty thing to Lewis?
Mercedes?
It's
sixth place.
Again, it's not like it matters that much.
But I think if Russell was a faster driver that day, so they're like, let's get the tires on you to get the extra point for the team, not just for your...
Is this all part of the thing?
I think it's part of the team.
Part of the
at the end of the day,
big idea,
the
big
team
picture.
One more point.
I would agree with y'all, but Hamilton could have done the exact same thing.
He wasn't faster than Russell. That's probably what they're looking at.
But on like softs, he could have done it, I think, right?
Yeah, Sauce is going to get to the...
Probably.
I agree. I definitely agree with you. He's not faster than Russell on this track, but he had the time. I mean, what, Perez was almost a minute to... Oh, wait, is that 2 liter?
That's 2 liter.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's 2 liter. Hamilton had the time, though,
I think. Did he have the time? Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he had the time to make it. Or maybe if he did it, he would have to fight Perez, but I guess I assumed he might be able to get past
Perez.
Well,
I guess that's a thought, too, but...
So I might just be talking.
Obviously, we'll jump into this here soon.
That's all we're doing, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll jump into this here soon, but I mean, the Aston Martins there, that's kind of who they're fighting with right now is the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
So every point kind of matters when you're fighting at the 6th to 10th spot. Every point really matters. So I think if you're fighting for the constructors, you don't want to go out in 5th. You take that one for the team. I mean, you're not going to podium Russell. Go take one for the team, get a point, and call it what it is.
Well, and after the race, he did say he doesn't feel... I can't remember what he actually said. I literally just read it, but he didn't feel like any sort of type of way about it or whatever. He's just going to move on from it. But like in the moment, for sure, I think he was a little bit, he was just curious what they would do, I think. I think he was, I don't know if he was just testing them and it's just all a game or whatever, but
it's definitely a question to be asked if you're put in that position.
I think so. Why not? Yeah, why not?
Because if Lewis would have given him the spot back, the team still gets the same amount of points. Russell just gets one more.
Right.
Yeah.
The team gets one more, right?
No, because they're going to finish
anyway.
Sorry. It's been a long day.
I think we're all on that boat, but
actually, I think Russell would have got two more points, yeah? Because he would have finished two spots. He would have finished. He would have got the 2 points and then the fastest lap.
So no, because like you said, they finished in the same position, so it just...
No, but Russell would have got
three,
two more.
Three.
No, because he got the fastest lap point anyway. Because he would have finished in the spot ahead and would have given him two more points. The team would have got the same amount of points, but Russell would have gotten two more points.
You're right.
I know we have a lot of overseas listeners. This is American public schools here.
I was just about to say, this is only twos and threes, and I'm like, this is too much for me, right? I'm out. Let's talk about that Aston real quick. Alonso pretty much starting from the pits, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he did change his
And then he just had troubles all day. And then they pulled him out of the race with like 5 left or 10 left or something. I could have sworn they just took him off the track and retired the car. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, no, you're right. That was Albon.
I mean...
That was Albon. Yeah, you're right. Who also had issues, but...
Alonso, he did not do well in the race, unfortunately. He did not catch up.
He was just one lap down, though, so it wasn't a DNF.
Is it just car issues right now, because they haven't been as consistent lately, or at least Alonso for sure hasn't been as consistent lately. And, you know, we saw Stroll in points.
Yeah, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Stroll had a good race. Like, he was actually overtaking.
He was up there pretty much a majority of the race, I would say, in points. I don't know. I think I'm just like... so blinded by the hate on Stroll that it just doesn't matter. Yeah. But to see him get a couple points, though.
Here, you want to play a fun game?
What is that?
How many more times is he in points the rest of the year? Over-under is 2.
Over-under is 2?
Yeah.
I would say over as well.
Over. I think he's going to get points a few
times.
A lot
of season left.
I don't think we're going to see a lot more races where he outscores Alonso, but I think he could... Fit in ninth.
He will not be outscoring Alonso most races.
I'll take the odds and go the under if you guys are all going the over for
under
two.
Accurate number would be 3.5.
Under on the 2.
That'd be a debate.
The half is when he crashes his car and half of the car gets over the finish line.
No, then it's either 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's not really much else to say about them. I mean, we can maybe mention them, you know, when we get to Monaco, mention the same team, see what we're thinking, but I don't know what they got. They got to have some upgrades coming, you would hope.
Hopefully.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Everybody else is upgrading, driving away from them now.
You got the right guy in the car. Obviously, he had a bad week, but you got the right guy in the car to put upgrades and let him win.
Yep. You do.
Especially in Monaco.
But it was weird to see both Mercedes finishing. Obviously, Alonso had a bad race, but both Mercedes finishing in front of Aston's this week. So, real quick, V-Carb, Yuki. Right before we came on, we were just talking consistency with Yuki. It's not even about the amount, but the dude is obviously showing that he's consistent enough to be in points almost every week right now. Can't say that about Danny Ric, but...
Perez, keep racing like that.
He's got to.
No, I'm saying Perez, keep racing like that. You got Yuki, who's a young gun coming up. They haven't filled that spot yet.
No way. Not happening. But I think he absolutely will be in V-Carb again, and they're going to keep him around at this point for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think he has a shot at that Red Bull seat, but that'd be wild.
I think Checo has that spot next year. They sign Yuki to another deal, let him have one more year. Checo doesn't come back to Red Bull in 2025.
And if Yuki's consistent again, why not? Why not?
Especially if they're going to keep putting effort into that V-Carb.
I don't mind that
idea.
And
they did the simulator, and I think they had the 4th or 5th fastest car this weekend.
Qualifying they were both top 10. I was really hopeful Danny Ric would get some points this week.
Yeah.
I'm always going to like him. I'm kind of giving up on Danny Ric.
Mm.
I can't lie. I've always liked him. I'd like to see him in a seat next year, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, what seat?
I don't think it'll be V-Carb.
You know what's bumming, though? I feel like we're not seeing as much communication, you know, whatever you call it on the side there, the communication basically with Yuki. He's always fun to see communication. He's always fired up.
Yeah.
You know? He's always fired up.
He's a good clickbait. He's a good soundbite, too. You know? So it's like, give us what we want.
Yeah. But
it's
give us some more Yuki.
It's all just asterisks on the
Yeah. 100%. Real quick before we wrap, kind of wrap the recap on Imola. Williams, Albon, dude, just a, that is a string of bad luck, I would say. I think the dude actually continues to show that he still has skill, but just the state of Williams right now in general, I think you put this down, Joe, that Williams is in shambles
a little bit. Yeah, you have one driver that can't drive and the other driver's getting screwed by his team. It sucks, right? It's a bad position to be in. They have, I mean, they're struggling on and off track, and I mean, that's not good. That's not how you get points, and they haven't, so yeah.
Would you rather be in a Haas right now?
100%.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay, I thought you were about to say
I had to register what you were saying.
I know, usually we're programmed to just assume absolutely not. No, we don't want to be in a Haas, but now
100%.
That narrative is changing.
Haas has obviously fixed their off-track issues. Like, I mean, if you asked me 3 or 4 years ago, absolutely, I mean, we saw, like, they literally couldn't put wheels on a car for an entire race. Versus now, I mean, they haven't had really any, like, pit issues, I don't think. It's all been on track for the most part.
Do you think it's a hurt to the Williams? Obviously, it started last year, but do you think it's a hurt to the Williams for their president to be the, is it the president? Yeah, the president to be the engineer and not just, like, you know, like, because
the Williams, James Vowles, he's the principal and, like, principal. The
chief engineer. Is he really?
I don't think he's the chief engineer.
No, but principal. I was saying president. It's principal.
You principal.
He's a principal. He's an engineer. He's the only one that's really an engineer. Like, I feel like that position is more dedicated to somebody who can lead and can build a team.
Well, but he proved himself at Mercedes.
I'll
also
say.
He was, like, Toto's right-hand man at Mercedes, so he was, like, he wasn't the engineering realm, but he was, like, he developed kind of out of that into that leadership role to be kind of Toto's right hand.
I just feel like it's a different ballgame right now, like, with this, especially with this type of team you're going into, and I think because he was Toto's right-hand man, that's why he gets this spot. I just don't know if it's the right spot for him.
That's fair.
Why not follow the legacy of, like, a Nui or something like that? Why try to be a Wolf? Why try to be a Toto? You're never going to be a Toto.
Well, maybe you want that... Right there, money, dude, and why you don't want that challenge? Like, you're at the top of your game as an engineer, not Nui, right? But you're at the top of your game, your personal game, and you don't want that next challenge that maybe is team principal and running the show.
So like, as far as like the Drive to Survive and like the episodes and all that, I kind of loved the president or the principal.
Principal.
That's fair.
Team principal.
We know what you're saying.
The principal, I kind of loved him through that. And just, like, everything he was talking about and everything, I thought he was a pretty awesome guy. And I thought he, like, honestly, I was bought in. I was like, I'm going to hammer the over all year on Williams because of, like, just how he talked and his demeanor and everything. But it's just not paying off as much as it should this year, especially when you have somebody like Albon in the car, I feel like. Like, I feel like they should be more designed and just everything around the car should be better because of the mindset that he thinks.
The one thing with Williams, though, that kills them is they manufacture their own.
Yeah.
So if they need a new part, they have to, and they don't have the money. So if they need a new part, they have to go and build it. You know what they're also engine they're running? A Mercedes engine.
Mercedes.
Right.
Yeah, but so is
Aston.
Aston.
Yeah, but there's still like a huge gap. I mean, it's more than just the engine, you know, but it's still like you can make an argument the worst power unit on the market right now. So you're already kind of behind the Honda, the Ferrari, and I guess Alpine still is using.
So what's that say for McLaren then? They're also Mercedes.
McLaren's Mercedes?
They are indeed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep. McLaren's Mercedes. So
I
like,
didn't know that. I thought they were at a Ferrari engine.
Do you think this principle has a short shelf life though?
No.
Being at Williams,
I don't think so.
He's got a little bit of a disadvantage. How long has he been principal?
Last year was his first year.
Yeah. Last year was his first year. Yeah. Nah, you got to give him a little bit more time than that, I would think. If it's the same stuff next year, but then new regs.
But maybe they're building for that car. Maybe they're building for the new regulations and everything with this guy behind the helm being the engineer background. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, every time you watch Drive to Survive or anything about Williams, it's we want to get back to that car that was winning. We want to get back to this car.
Well, they have an amazing history, right? They got a really long history, and they do, of course they want to get back to that.
They're like the Steelers. Let's throw him back. I mean, we're happy.
Well,
right
we also got to look at it this way. The last time that Ferrari won a WDC wasn't too far ahead of Williams.
But they're still winning races, at least, and competing for the top podiums, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With that, real quick to wrap Williams, what is the best move for Albon? Is it worth?
It's already been decided.
Oh, that's right.
It's our first news.
That's right. That's right.
And nice.
I don't know if it's the best
that's a
move,
good segment.
With that, good that's right. Duh. With that, let's head into news, Kev. So back at it with the news. Obviously, I started going into other stuff. That's how the mind goes. You know what I mean? But with that, for some reason, I forgot that Albon had already signed a multi-year contract with Williams. Is it three? I thought I saw that it was three. Is that true?
They just
or not?
Said multi. I don't think they said.
Could have sworn
many
I said I saw three.
Three
but
it's
like,
definitely going to carry him into 2026 at least.
And that's the part that's interesting to me. And maybe that's. Maybe like what Cole was saying, maybe that's kind of what they're waiting on and maybe focusing more on the new regs. But I just can't get behind that. I don't either because I think that's bad business, dude.
I don't think they even can at the moment because they don't know what the regs are. Right.
Oh, true.
Well,
right?
they have a good idea. They've released a lot of them because you have to allow the teams to build their engines. You got to get more.
Oh,
year.
Sure. That's fair.
Okay.
But it's like, but you're limited in terms of like sim hours. Mm-hmm. Obviously wind tunnel comes into play too, but it's a you in the position when you're consistently seventh and the highest from eighth through 10th, like you can't put your money into next year's car because you have to get that next step to get money for next year's car.
And how do
like that?
And how does that work? Explain to some of the newbies or whatever about finishing really quick and constructors and the money you get and blah blah blah.
So there's a huge difference between where you place in the overall like team constructor championship, the dollar amounts. I think they change on a year to year basis based
probably,
off revenue,
yeah,
profits, all that fun stuff. But so like for the difference between finishing seventh and 10th, which is only 3-4 spots in the actual thing, is millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that you're bringing in from the actual F1. Right. So it's like you are super strapped in terms of the money you can have when you're a team like a Williams and Alpine. Haas, where you don't have those powerhouse of like the Red Bull, the Mercedes, Ferrari behind you. They have unlimited money. That's not the same for those lower teams, especially a team like Williams, who manufactures their own parts in their factory. So like they build everything there. They need as much money as they can to keep that production going. We saw that when Sargent or Albon messed up his car and then Logan had to give up his car to Albon go in. Like they didn't have an extra chassis with them because they didn't have an extra chassis.
Right. And
you know, like that doesn't happen on any other team.
And you explain that perfectly because that's exactly why it matters. You got new F1 fans that came in during the Lewis domination or the Max domination right now that are new to the sport that are just like, so basically outside of the podium, it doesn't matter. No. It does matter 100%. So I already had a feeling that you would just explain it perfectly. So that's why I wanted you to just run with it. So I think that's perfect for anybody new to it, you know. That not now knows why it matters so much.
This is like the only sport, if you will, where you can root for three different teams because you have the people fighting at the top,
there's
people fighting
tiers.
At the mid, and the people fighting at the bottom. Yeah. And I remember I was talking to my brother about this, and I was like, you know, well, what's so, like, you know, we were kind of chatting about it, like, you know, what why is so interesting? Like, and he was like, who do you watch? And I listed off a couple teams, like Haas down low. You know, I was just listening off teams and I was like, cause there's so many different categories that you're fighting for. Mm-hmm. And it's all based around money and everything like this. And like, this could be a really freaking big year for Haas.
It could seriously be huge.
Yeah, seriously.
They haven't finished this high since their first season in F1.
And it's just unfortunate for them that Yuki's doing what he's doing for VCar.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, it's like the coolest thing that out of the teams, the 10 teams, there's so much variety you can root for. Like, you don't have to have a favorite team. You can have a favorite driver, like all these things, but like,
well,
it
depends on who you ask. You go ask some of these diehards that, you know, at some of these tracks around the world. They're going to, yeah, well, we're American.
The tracks.
So obviously we like multiple teams.
Yeah, the Tifosi, the Papaya Army, the Dutch.
But like, if you like, so like the best reference we could always make is football. Banter the Boys, there's tons of football talk, right? So there's this, like, if there's a team that's trash, you're not rooting for your team to win the Super Bowl and then also rooting for this team to get the number one overall pick.
Right. Like, if anything, you have like an AFC and an NFC team, but even that, it's like,
you don't
want them to play each other in the Super Bowl.
And that's so weird. Like, nobody does that. You have one diehard team. That's every sport out here. So, like, it's kind of cool where you can kind of be like, okay, Haas will never beat Red Bull, but I can still root for Haas and not be a traitor to, like, my favorite team.
Which is definitely not Red Bull for you. that could have been a meme. Darn it. But yeah, I mean, Alex Albon, I think it's probably a good move for him. Might as well see what happens. How old is he? He's got to be like 27, 28.
He's the same age as George.
Like Gasly, right?
Like 26.
Yeah,
26.
I think he's like, please? I think he's mid to late.
Oh, wait, no.
He
might be 25, actually,
because
he's
just
Lando's
because
24.
Of new ranks, right?
He's 28.
Only because
he's
of
Max's
that.
Age. That's right, because him, Charles, and Max carded.
Oh, for sure.
And the reason why I say that, because of the new regs, is just like, it's just a new playing field for everybody. So I'm just curious, like, is Williams going to figure it out by then? And maybe he likes being there enough that it's worth it to him. But then he signs the multi-year deal and then this weekend happens and it's like, it's just the same stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be frustrating, but
do you think he really wants to be at Williams and build Williams up like he has in 2 years? Or is it just that he doesn't, or maybe he just hasn't gotten anyone talk to him?
I think he's locking down a stepping stone 100% to get to a better team. But he's got to show it.
I feel like the last 2 years, that's what he's been doing, and it just hasn't paid off. And largely, that's Williams' fault. I don't think that's his fault. But I think he's a decent driver.
Are you going to go parallel, though? I think that's the biggest kicker. Like, a lot of these teams that probably offered him, he's going parallel with a move. He is comfortable in a car. He can perform. He's shown he can perform in this car. He's comfortable in the car. Why leave when you can be in the same parallel car and compete with those other guys in the other cars instead of jumping ship and having to, like, basically relearn a car almost?
I think that's an extremely good point.
I think the biggest thing that's hurting him is there's not a spot on those big teams open that who are you going to take? Sainz or Albon? You're taking neither of them because there's no spots open.
Well, yeah.
That's what it comes down to. There's no spots open.
It was a trick question. You got us. You got us. that's funny.
Well, I still think Carlos has a shot at that Red Bull seat. They didn't sign Checo yet.
I think
they can't afford him.
I think Sainz is going to go to.
You think so? They can't afford it. Well, I mean,
Horner came out and said it. Or who is it? It was Marco. Who came out?
They can't match.
They can't match Audi's offer.
Yeah,
offer. Yeah, that's right.
Sainz is all but in that Audi seat next year.
And the only thing that Mercedes is offering him is a 1 year deal.
Because they're keeping that spot open for Max and Kimi.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Max and Kimi. So oh, funny. My God. We're gonna lock that one up and keep that ready to go for another time with Max to Merc. But
yeah, in terms of, like in the Albon aspect of it, like what better opportunity does he have? At the end of the day, he doesn't, right? You have to keep
like
your spot
Cole's
on the
saying,
grid.
It's, it'd be a parallel move.
Yeah, you have to keep your spot on the grid. If you got a
and
team
that's
offering you a
me,
multi-year
that
deal.
Down. Yeah,
worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. You're securing your
to
financial,
stay in F1,
and you're still doing what you love. What you'd think they'd love at this
you'd
point.
Think.
You know, I don't know if Max does, but I think to Max it's just a job.
That well, he you're so good at it.
At.
Yeah, right. And staying with Williams, that second seat's obviously open right now because Sargent's not coming back.
Still a chance. I don't know.
I got some news on this. I heard, and I sent some of these to Tyler. I have these wild news things that I follow in F1, and a lot of these have came true.
On
based
the dark
on the previous,
web, F1 dark web.
Yeah, based on the previous predictions I put out, a lot of these have came true. right?
True.
So there is news that recently they have put in a bid to get rid of Sargent, and they have put in the offer, the bid or whatever, to get Kimi his
super license.
Whoa.
But it's going to take a couple weeks, so it wouldn't be until 3 or 4 weeks where he'd be able to get a super license, but apparently...
Kimi Antonelli.
Like officially.
Yeah. Let's not confuse this with Kimi Räikkönen.
Officially has put in that bid request, whatever it may be.
For Kimi Antonelli to take over for Sargent this year.
This season.
It's probably not going to get granted because he's 17. That's the huge thing right now.
But didn't we talk about that? That where it did get granted for Max or did not?
They changed it after.
They changed it after him.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. Money changes everybody's minds and realistically, like,
he's the next best thing, right?
Who's paying him? It ain't Williams. Williams isn't forking over
that
money.
We know who it is. Yeah,
it's Mercedes.
But another kicker
is that
too,
worth it to them to get him going earlier in the
see what
wheel,
you got.
In the
get, wheel. Him, get him in an F1 car, you know?
So look at it from, like, let's
yeah,
look at it from
a crappy F1 car,
like,
but
a broad F1,
but
a
you're
broad,
right.
A broad F1 look, right? If you're looking at it from F1
overview.
Overview. The Sargent leaving F1 is good for F1 because right now he's kind of a laughing stock of F1. Bringing in a new young gun mid-season, that's a fun, exciting play. If you're trying to build faces in America, do young, exciting plays like this.
Let's look at last year. DeVries was not working out. They brought in Danny Rick. All the media.
All of a sudden, there was news and all this. Ooh. Yeah, you're right.
What's the long-term goal of F1, really? Like, if you're F1 as a platform or as, like, this huge industry, your goal is to go worldwide. And the start of that and the biggest money maker in that is a capitalistic America who's going to blow it up. You want to make money, you come to America.
We're going to F1 race in Chicago.
You want to make money, you go to America.
I didn't hear that yet. Really?
No, I hope that doesn't happen.
It's already been, like, accepted.
We have too many races here.
It's closer
and cheaper. I don't
for
like
us to
that.
Go to
that
Vegas, baby.
But, like, as far as, like, the money mecca to throw money behind sports and buy gear and everything, it's America.
That's a super good
point. All the time, it's America, right? So, Sargent only hurts.
Merchandise, I would agree with that. I think the UAE would counter that with all the money they put into sports.
if you're looking at it from that perspective with Sargent, I mean, he's just hurting American stock right now because everybody's like, if you're an American fan, you want to root for somebody who can do something in a car. And right 100%. Now, it sucks to root for somebody who's American. Finally, we get an American on the grid and he's not performing.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough to watch. He's out of every race. He wrecks. Somebody else is taking his spot. You know, because his car broke and now he gets his car. It's, you know, if you're
that's
an American,
the ultimate slap in the face.
But if you're an American fan, like, you don't watch the Olympics through for other countries, you watch through for your country. But if your country loses every event, you're not tuning in.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good point. I don't know if Kimi would grow it in America per se.
He'd grow it as a whole,
F1, give it new life as a mid-season jolt. I do like that idea 100%.
It doesn't hurt it's not that it hurts America, like the American viewership. It's not that it jumps like a huge surge of people wanting to watch from America. But right now, I think Sargent is hurting the American viewership for people that want to watch it and root for an American.
That's fair. And I want to move on.
At least we got Haas.
Yeah. Hey, but I mean, better this season.
Until he went Russian for a second.
No.
that was a dark time.
Kyle, dang it. Now that threw me off. Where was I going to go with that? Okay. If you bring in Kimi and that gets accepted and all that, could it hurt his career in any way possible? The fact that you're throwing him into a Williams car that's not amazing right now.
No. I honestly don't think so, because I think there's no better opportunity for a young cat to start than in one of those lower cars, right?
And I mean, if that's as worse as it's going to get right now, then it's only looking up from there.
You also see what you got. Before you commit to a year in a Mercedes, you see what you got into Williams, see if he can handle the pressure, see if he can control an F1 car. Now, obviously, he's done tests. There's sim, there's more ways to look at it than getting in live racing, but that's the best bet. And can he overtake in an F1 car? Can he defend in an F1 car? It doesn't matter the car at the end of the day when you're gauging just to see how he performs and what he has.
And it's the same pace or the same route that Russell took.
100%.
Well, and that's what we keep talking
Bob's
about
is too.
With the drivers and just their skill in general. Like every week, one of us mentions Verstappen's skill. That's what this is testing. It's testing his skill at the F1 level in a bad car. And then if he does well, then he probably is in that Merc seat next year then. They don't have to worry about it.
I don't think they can afford to put a rookie, a rookie who's skipped levels, albeit he's really good. I don't know if they can afford to put him in a car that high up, right? I think he's got to, like you said, we saw Bottas to Merc, and then we saw Russell to Merc. I think Lando's the only one I can think of that has, gotten McLaren and stayed in McLaren. But even Verstappen, he started at, it wasn't called AlphaTauri, it was whatever before. Yeah, Toro Rosso. He started Toro Rosso before going into Red Bull.
But Red Bull, you got to look at a little bit differently because it's their junior seat, right? Look at Albon, went into the Toro Rosso, went to that Red Bull spot.
But the Toro Rosso still wasn't doing as good as the Red Bull, right?
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah. But it's different with the development of Red Bull drivers, though, because it's that junior pro.
Yeah, sure. I see Alfa Romeo into Charles Leclerc, another one. Alfa Romeo into Ferrari. I just see, even if they're not technically sister teams, they're definitely development teams.
Oh, they're 100%. Yeah. They're essentially their junior teams without being branded by Mercedes and Ferrari.
100%.
So with that, real quick, that kind of makes this next part a little bit interesting now with the rumors of Bottas maybe wiggling his way into Williams for next season. Now, obviously, if Kimi does well and then goes into the Merc seat, and then Bottas, maybe he does go to Williams. But if that doesn't happen and Kimi stays at Williams another year, or do you think that's not even a possibility, maybe Bottas is out of a job, but I think somebody would pick him up.
I don't think Kimi would be in a Williams next year. I think he would be,
this year, he's in Merc next year
or he's
out of F1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because when you're talking about a Merc spot, it's a Merc spot, right? It's a prime spot. It's one of three prime spots that not historically, but over the course
before
of the last
new regs
20 years.
At the moment, 100%. Still a spot you want to be in.
Yeah. So it's just like you can't just take a chance. And at the end of the day, it also goes to who's available. I'm really, really surprised that Merc is not throwing a lot more at Science.
I think it's because of the plan of Kimi. That's the only reason.
And I have another thing about Science real quick. I heard that Audi is the top landing spot for Science.
Yeah, they had an offer out to him.
But I heard that the 26th of this month, Monaco, is the deciding factor where he has to make a decision. On Audi?
Really?
They look elsewhere.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I think that's 100% fair.
Imagine tomorrow we find out that Carlos is on.
That's how it's going to happen. Every time we get done recording news happens the next day.
I think that was legit what happened with the Albon extension.
Seriously. Yeah. Did we mention last episode at all about, real quick, the rumor about that's what it was. Damn it. Joe going to that second Haas seat at all?
Oh, we brought it up last week.
Did we bring it up? Okay. I haven't heard any too much more traction.
Yeah.
But I thought I saw it officially as a rumor, on F1's
website.
That
dude does not deserve a seat in F1.
Oh, that's right.
At all? None at all?
What has he done better than Sargent besides, what did he score, 1 or 2 points last year?
He doesn't crash as much as Sargent.
I would say he's better than Sargent,
but he's not performing.
Yeah.
But is it hard to perform in that stake seat? I mean, I don't 100%. Think it's been a great car.
I mean, look at Bottas.
I was going to say, look at the last time Bottas scored points. You know,
that's true.
I don't know. I think it's really hard to determine if it's him or if it's the car. I personally would like to see him at Haas, but I could also see them maybe wanting someone a little bit more. Well, he is kind of like the veteran at this point. It's his third or fourth year driving, so he's not a veteran. But it's not a rookie, so he knows how to drive these tracks. He knows how to handle an F1 car. He's not going to be able to train Bearman in because we all know he's going to get the second seat.
Right.
It's a safe option probably, I think.
So who takes that?
Or do they keep K-Mag? I don't know.
And we're not even going to get into all that right now because we could keep going on forever. And that's another thing we could table for another time.
Sure.
When as an F1 team do you give up on a young driver? When is that time for you? And maybe it depends on where you are as a team at the time. Maybe you can afford to wait if you're a lower team, to see if they develop. But I think that could be a topic for another time too. When do you move on? Real quick, last bit of news, unless anybody, Cole, do you have anything else from the dark web?
I got two quick ones. Sprint races every race.
Let's do
maximum
it.
Of 25. Dark web, baby.
No.
I don't like that at all.
It's because of the dominance of Red Bull. That's why it's been in discussion, is sprint races every race.
Wait a couple of years before we even think about
that. But the last thing I think we got to bring it up, the McLaren livery.
Oh, I know, yeah, 100%. That was the last thing, 100%.
Okay, yeah.
The McLaren livery looks good, other than the freaking...
Oh, it looks so clean,
and
man.
I know, like we talked about it before, the chrome wheels have to be on there. I get it. I hate that garbage because with the regular orange, livery, it looks great, honestly. It doesn't look that bad. But with the Senna thing, I just...
I hate those wheels.
Just one race, homie.
I'm okay
one
with
race,
it.
Take
I
that
think,
garbage
hey,
off.
As long as at least it's not the Ferrari completely blue wheels that we saw last race. God, that was Ferrari not was last just, race, but the race before. That was awful.
That car was so ugly.
It was so bad.
Clash City.
Yeah.
This just Senna, like the chrome wheels on the Senna livery.
This
but,
Senna
livery but the
livery
looks,
so
looks so freaking awesome. I mean,
it looks clean, man.
Dude, it looks really good. Yeah. That'll be fun to see at Monaco. Like, it's just fun. It's just fun. With that, let's just wrap the news and head right into our preview of Monaco. Let's just head right into the Monaco preview, of course. Big money Monaco for your average annual income, according to whatever, worlddata.info. I have no idea if that's relevant or not. It's $186,000 a year. Whatever. A lot of money. Joe, geez, sorry.
Hi.
I was trying to figure out your name staring at you. I was like, what is your name? Joe, do your thing, homie.
Yeah, Monaco, I do know that fact as well. It helps that they're such a small, you know, such a small entity that not a lot of people, when they're really rich, it's going to boost them up a bit.
For sure.
It's funny, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and I think most of us are of the same mind, happy to have a conversation, but we all kind of, I should say we all, Tyler and I were talking about it a little bit. We kind of think it's a little bit boring. Last year was a little hectic, but overall, I've definitely had a race or two at Monaco where I've fallen asleep, maybe. I know. What do you guys think?
It's such a boring race. It's historic. It's the pinnacle, whatever you want to call it. But it's like, there's one place to pass. You don't see it because you can't get that DRS activated in time coming in through that last
no
little
doubt.
Bit. It's just, it's all qualifying.
Yeah,
so it's not.
It is
just,
all qualifying.
It's start. Just time trials, man.
Yep.
The start is cool. And if we can get J-Lo on the big screen, I like that.
Word.
Other than that, I'm Gucci. You know, I'll just chill back. Hang out.
It is a glorified time trial. That is what it feels like. And I know for me anyway. Again, suck ass at it, but playing the video game, like Monaco. Monaco is intense, dude.
So bad
for my first couple laps, and then I'm out of the race because I hit a wall anyway, and my wheels go flying off and whatever. But like, as far as like fun, at least in the game anyway, I love that track. I wish I could race it better. And then you add in another 19 cars, pure carnage from me. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, that track just.
But as far as like boring, like just seeing the skill of the drivers is dope. But that's it, dude. That's all you get.
You get that in qualifying. I don't.
You might
need,
see some.
I don't need what 70 laps of it.
Maybe yeah.
It's a long race.
Maybe you'll sneak a peek on a yacht or something. Something's going on. Who knows? Party's going on. You never know. But other than that, that's it, man. But Joe, sorry. Go for
no,
it.
No. It's good. I wasn't expecting to have a ton of talk about, but it was actually pretty crazy last year. So we'll just jump into it. Monaco, the Formula One Grand Prix de Monaco, 2024 is the official name. I'm going to start doing that every single recap. I'm going to say the official name because we got some crazy ones. Some fun facts to start off. Monaco is one of the seven venues on the inaugural F1 World Championship calendar back in 1950. Now, the track actually goes back further than that, but, like, it was, like, private F1 races. The actual, like, world championship, this is one of the seven that was that year.
Do you know, has it always been the same track? Like, the same configuration?
For the most part, it has been. There have been a few changes here and there.
Sure,
like, if you look back and forth, like, I think we've seen videos of, like, if you were to take away all the barriers or like go like back in time, it's pretty much the same. I think they've changed a few things here or there, but
sure.
Like, I don't, like, that huge curve out of the tunnel, I don't know if that was originally there. Okay. I could be very wrong.
I don't
think
there was that chicane at that turn. I think that was just a straight shot back in the day.
Yeah, I think so, too. So that's I think that that's probably one of the biggest changes.
Should have left that puppy in.
Yeah. Other than the race, it's a glitz and glam circuit, like you kind of said. Unfortunately, it can drag on a little bit during the race with how narrow the track is, limited with overtaking. We've already said all this. Quali is all the more important. Last year was the year where we saw Checo actually crash in qualifying. The year before that, Checo crashed in qualifying and ruined Verstappen's qualifying, and we had a little bit of drama there.
Is that when Leclerc got pole, and then on the outlap, the formation lap, his engine
this
cut?
Was that two years ago? I think that was the same race, too. Yeah, because he did, last year he didn't get pole, that was Verstappen, but the 2 years before that, he did get pole.
Because that was when Perez did it, and then, like, Sainz ended up, like, almost hitting him and got sideways, so they had to red flag it.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, and then, I think Charles, he had an engine problem last year, and then the year before that, it started to rain, and they brought him into the pits, and I think they messed up his strategy altogether. Or they pit him too early or too late or something like that. So the start, Verstappen, Alonso, and Ocon, Sergio Perez, like I said, crashed. He started in 20th. Charles did receive a 3-place grid penalty because he impeded one of the McLaren drivers who both started 10th and 11th. And then both Alpines in the top 10, very different. I don't think we're going to see that this weekend, but
no way, not a chance.
Hey, maybe.
Especially on a podium.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see that in about 25, 30 years.
No, that's rough.
25, 30 years.
2026? No, new regs? Maybe they get it together. Probably not, but we'll see. All right, jumping into the race, we see actually a clean turn one, start of the race. The only trouble that we see in the first lap coming further down the grid with a Haas bumping into a Williams, causing a momentary yellow flag, and then cars almost completely parking at the hairpin. We still see Perez in last. I wrote this down. It's the slowest I've ever seen a Red Bull go before. Like, he was almost, like, stopped at that hairpin. At the end of a first lap, Hülkenberg is up 4 places and Stroll is down 4 after taking some damage and a puncture. In lap 11, we saw Verstappen 3 seconds ahead of Alonso, who was almost 10 seconds ahead of Ocon, with Sainz fighting behind. Sainz looking to push Ocon to use his tires more to get a little too close. The same exact kind of corner where they went straight all those years ago. Sainz got a little bit too close, broke a little bit too late, ran right into the back of Ocon, got his wing stuck underneath Ocon's tire, had to go into the pits. Actually, no, he didn't go into the pits. Sorry, I should stick to my notes. He got wing damage, but it was only that end plate, and it didn't affect his race too much. So he raced the entire race on a damaged wing.
Which is crazy to race Monaco on a damaged wing.
Last year and the year before, I saw, like, through many races, end plate wings getting damaged or coming off, and it not really affecting pace very much. I don't know if that's changed this year, but kind of something that I've noted and seen before.
I don't know anything about aerodynamics, but I feel like if something's supposed to be there, you probably want it.
Didn't that happen to Max this year, one of his wins?
I don't remember. I'm not sure. I don't think Max has had any crazy damage except the possible.
He's
Miami
barely been
stuff.
Close enough to sure. people to damage his
Oh, except,
stuff.
Of course, of the brakes exploding in Australia, but.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Lap 30, we actually see Verstappen starting to lap the bottom half of the grid. We start to see the start of pit stop windows. Ocon pits on lap 33 for a slow 4.2 seconds. Luckily, he was able to stay ahead by only 1 second ahead of Sainz. We hear Sainz state his displeasure to his engineers on strategy, and he's unable to make that gap back up to Ocon. Perez's day gets worse on lap 36 when he gets a bit too close to Magnussen and ruins his wing under the Haas's back tire, ruining his weight race further and forcing him into the pits for a wing change. This is when we start to see the rain begin to fall in lap 51. Cars are being affected by it, lake brakes, sliding off, losing the back end, but only in specific parts of the track. At the very start, I think it was raining like in the first half, and the bottom half was okay. This created a very interesting mixed condition scenario. We saw Alonso going for a new mediums instead of inters. At this point, we have about 5 cars that are on the inters with more starting to feed into the pit lane for a change of tire. Sainz, unfortunately, was not one of those drivers. He did another lap on the softs, not the softs, the dries. Didn't spin out, but definitely got sideways before the hairpin. Found his way into the runoff area and got a bit further. Lap 55 was a certified show is what I have written here. Absolute carnage. The top four cars still on dries, finally decide to go in for the inters, except that there's one problem. Both Ferraris fighting for position, each other. They need to double stack into the pits. Leclerc gets his tires first, and Sainz files in immediately after, losing another position to the other Alpine of Gasly. All the while, Alonso pits again for inters and able to retain his second place position. Stroll in lap 58, he started playing bumper cars into three different walls, breaking his wing before finally deciding to pull off into a runoff area and retire. Magnussen, typical, the last driver on dries, runs into the wall right before the pit and is able to back up and find his way in. I believe he retires there. George is given a penalty on lap 60 for an unsafe rejoin when he backs out of a runoff area and right into Perez. We actually see George go up into the air. And then we see a couple small more bumps into walls and runoffs for the remaining laps of the 78-lap race. We finally find the finish line into a very hectic Monaco GP. Verstappen, Alonso, Ocon, Hamilton, and then Russell. Stroll and Magnussen, weirdly the only ones to retire that whole race, but it was a little crazy. I don't remember it being that crazy last year.
Me neither. No,
that was a lot. But I think when it rains in the middle of a race like that, that's got to just throw... Obviously, you have plan A through Z, right, probably? But like that's just got to throw your whole strategy off.
Especially in Monaco.
I think the problem is that, like you said before, 70 laps, it's a long race, yeah, right?
It is a long
so
race.
So I think these little bubbles of kind of action happening, and then we just get a whole lot of nothing for a little bit. Like my notes start at one, and the next note is like at lap 11.
And your last bit of your notes were everybody bumping and hitting the wall. Like,
yeah.
Might as well be me out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the worst track to race in the game.
It's so bad.
I remember it's so hard. It's so bad.
Dude, me and Tyler would play so much. We'd just be ripping around. I'd be like, dude, I just ripped this time. You rip one lap with a good time, you're just ecstatic. Then you get into a race, you get a lap in, you're like, DNF, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty much. I've had, my party, buddy.
I've had one race win in Monaco, and it was when I was playing with the season with Kev Dog, and the difficulty's a lot lower than it should be, so I qualified P1.
Hey, but even
pretty
that,
sure I,
dude,
lost my full wing.
Even that, I feel
even
good.
Even in the race.
Did you box for a new wing, or did you run the damage wing?
We just slowed down. You can't get past, mm-hmm. So you just got to slow down real good.
gotta slow down real good.
Slow down real good. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we'll see as much carnage or just excitement. I can't even believe I said carnage normally. That's weird. I don't like that. We'll change it up.
We'll edit that out.
But like, I don't think, we'll edit that. Just a blur of me going, carnage. No, I don't think we'll see the Mercs finishing that high at all at Monaco this year. No way in heck. I do think that we could see Ferrari act a little better here this week. And I think it's just because of how much of a challenge the track is as a whole. I don't think Ferrari's going to have any better of a car or anything like that. But I think Leclerc and Carlos are going to have a bit more experience with Monaco's unpredictability. As predictable as it may be, it still has a little bit of that unpredictability. And I like Charles and Carlos's experience over Lando and Oscar, again, even though it feels like Lando's been racing F1 forever now, he's racing at the top of his game right now. He's on his way up to the top of his game currently. I think Max still wins it, but I think it's going to be some battles between, as battly as we get, between McLaren and Ferrari this weekend. I don't know. And I do think Checo has a bounce back race this week.
I'd say Checo's top five, but I don't see him grabbing a podium.
Really?
You do not see Checo on the podium? I haven't had Checo on the podium for a hot minute in our predictions, you know? I feel like just my gut is telling me that changes this weekend.
Nah, I don't think this race, man. It's just, it would be, if it was last year with the car's performance of last year across the grid, I would say, yeah.
Best car ever, almost.
I would slot Checo into that second spot, or at least third. This year, with the way that McLaren is looking right now and the way that Charles can make a lap in this track, I don't see Checo getting in front of Lando or Charles.
I would agree. I don't think Checo's up there this week.
Four or five. I could see him 4 or 5. I just don't see him grabbing the podium.
You know, for sure.
I'm up in my mind right now. I'm like, obviously we're into predictions here soon, but like in my mind, I'm kind of like, obviously I'm a Verstappen in the top three, but I might be looking at both Ferraris this week. I don't know.
That's honestly, that's where I'm going.
I don't know.
Before we even got into the predictions, like, that's where I'm going. Honestly, taking a risk, taking a chance. But I just, again, it's just for me, it's the drivers this week. And it's not taking anything away from Lando or Oscar. And again, Oscar was running a great race last week, had a great quali. I just, at Monaco specifically, I'm right there. I'm going for Verstappen and both Ferraris, and that's just a gut thing.
This is a white whale. This track's a white whale.
Kinda.
You know, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. I mean, last year it was domination all year from Verstappen, but to see Alonso and Ocon in the top three, that's crazy. Like, is it
weather conditions? But it's just a wild. It's just a wild race too.
It's weather conditions. Yeah, but if the weather comes into play this weekend, is the only time I see you having a wild shake.
So what is the weather this weekend in Monaco?
I just checked. It is sunny on Sunday, and we have 50% chance of rain on Saturday.
Oops.
So Saturday's qualifying.
Oh. Huge though.
That's like, I don't know.
Not
when.
As much. It doesn't matter as much in qualifying as it does race, because the strategy, when to pit, when to throw on different tires. Like, but with qualifying,
but
though,
that's,
I mean,
interesting, though. If it rains during quali, though?
If it rains during quali, but everybody has a chance to get on the same tires and not be penalized.
But there's also that switch of, like, who's going to throw on what enters, who's going to go out there with, like, a soft, because they know what, you know, there's so many different things.
Well,
factors,
I don't know.
So.
That's risky business.
Soft, huh?
Well, I mean, it's either a soft or an inner. It's a soft, wet, or inner. You don't run anything but that in quali. But, like, I mean, but if it's also raining going into quali, FIA is going to come in and limit all their tires. But so at the end of the day, who can race best in those conditions? Lando has proven he's not bad in rain. Carlos does really good in the rain.
I think that at least humanizes Verstappen a little bit if it rains during quali.
Doesn't give him that much of an edge.
Dang, that's interesting. 50% chance.
Are we going to see those rain guards, boys?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
but
it's 50% at around 12, and I think practice ends at 12:30 or starts at 12:30. So we might not even see rain during qualifying, but there's a chance.
I really want it, just because
I mean,
feel like it would be really interesting.
We're still, a few days away. You know,
really want it.
To talk about the wind guards real quick, I saw like a photo of Leclerc. It says Ferrari is trying out the new wind tunnels, and it was just like, you know, those boats that ride on, like, in Florida in the bayou. behind them in the car.
That's so funny.
Joe,
this is a tough one.
What's your podium?
This is a tough one.
Don't be a McLaren fanboy.
I'm unfortunately going to be a McLaren fanboy.
Both?
No, I don't think both.
Do it.
It's not a fanboy then.
I don't see Checo getting podium either. He won the race 2 years ago, but he did so bad last year.
Look at this.
I know. You're
his
you're
race
right.
win. Don't get me started. The RPMs, bro. He did that on purpose. He crashed.
Oh,
on
yeah,
purpose.
The crash. Yeah,
let
I
me
mean,
start.
That's hey, that's hearsay. Either way,
no, you can hear it on the telemetry and on the telemetry. You can see it. See it, homie. I've looked into that. You can see that and hear it. Anyway, sorry. Go for
so
it.
So anyway, I think
I don't get worked up about that.
I'm getting Verstappen. I'm gonna get Lando, and I'm gonna get Leclerc as well. Just because it's kind of a meme now, I don't think Leclerc is going to win his home race, because they just can't, right?
No, there's a weird omen there.
I could see Leclerc getting pole this weekend. I don't think he's going to win the race though.
God, if he got pole, I would cheer for him so hard, dude.
That'd be great.
I don't hate Ferrari, but I'm just not a Ferrari fan.
I'm a Ferrari fan.
It's just hype
this
and stuff,
year.
And I just like everybody. A lot of people like him, so I hate him automatically. Same with Red Bull.
I was the same way last year. I really didn't like Ferrari. I became a fan this year.
Man, it would be awesome to see Charles win there. It would be.
Yeah. Call me the Oregon Trail, because next year when Lewis goes to Ferrari,
sorry,
next year when Lewis goes to Ferrari, I'm jumping on the bandwagon, dude. I tell you that right now.
Oregon Trail.
All right,
I'm gonna be nothing but red every day. Okay.
That's so funny.
That was money, dude. So Cole's a Ferrari fan next year. Okay. So what's your official podium?
I'm a Lewis fan. I just want to, real quick, before we jump into my podium first, I'm in dead last right now. Can I go last? I think the dead last person.
We'll give an update on that real quick. Did I
go last every time I was in last? I don't know.
No, we've kind of been random.
Yeah.
So to bring that up, everybody got 2 points last week except for Smelty, who got 3.
Yeah, I know.
So Joe and I are currently tied at 13, Smelty's at 12, and Cole's bringing up the rear at 11.
Yeah, but you're at 11, though.
I mean, like 2 points from first to fourth.
See, this is what the constructors should look like. This close. That would be fun.
I'm just running out there. Can we take a vote real quick? I go last.
Looks like you're going right now, buddy.
All right, I'll hop in here. So I'm gonna mimic Joe's podium. I got Verstappen, Lando, and Leclerc this week. It's gonna be the same podium as the last two races. Not too exciting in that regard. But I think Leclerc he races this. So if the team can get a car underneath him, it's his track.
100%.
I think the McLaren just too quick for Lando not to qualify top three, and Verstappen's going to win.
Wait. You said McLaren's too quick to...
McLaren's quick to not qualify for Lando to qualify. For Lando to not qualify top three. That car is just quick.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
I got you here.
Nobody else left, so...
I'm
I guess you could go if you want.
I'm going with the enemy this week, okay? I'm going to do Verstappen, Checo.
Whoa.
Leclerc.
Whoa.
Man, that's crazy. Maybe he knows something. Checo is really good at street courses.
Road track series.
But I mean, I don't know, man. This is such a
my gut that coming into tonight was also to take Checo. 100%.
You're right, he didn't. Yeah. Just didn't look good last week. Usually he rebounds, but that has not been the case this year.
Yeah, I've been taking Checo. I mean, you can check. I've been taking Checo a lot. And
this is literally
Joe's
second time not taking Checo this year.
I just think after seeing last race, I think it's like a turning point. I just think the rest of the season is going to look a little worse for him. He's still going to get podiums. Wait, don't get me wrong.
Go ahead, Spelty.
Just real quick. Every race we mentioned that this is a bounce back race for Checo. It never happens.
That's
so far, which is weird.
Yeah.
So you, Mister, that Checo's in a Red Bull seat 100% next year. I just don't buy it.
I just don't see the only person I could see filling that seat would be Sainz, and they just don't have enough to offer.
I'm with Tyler. I think Checo's getting the seat because there's no one else to take it.
At the end of the day, the dude's still P2 in the constructor standings.
Well, for sure.
WDC.
But it's similar to the Bottas with Lewis thing. Nobody looks at the second guy. They know he's there. They know he's a skilled driver, but nobody really pays attention to him. I think Checo falls into that a little bit.
Red Bull does. People might not. Red Bull does.
I mean, the only
if they do, they're disappointed with his performance.
Checo did actually fall out of the top two spot last week. Leclerc passed him. So Checo is now third in the WDC.
And
interesting.
At the end, I talked about this with Tyler. I don't think that Perez, I think he's at fifth this year. I think he's at fifth in the drivers this year. But hey, he's not.
I think you said that early on in the season.
I did.
Yeah. You said he was out of five.
All right, I'll say six still. I'll still admit to that.
I mean, he's 12 points away from dropping under Lando to go into fifth.
I don't think he's up there.
Sorry, he's 6 points.
I said this episode one.
For fourth, so I guess no. So
I said this episode
too
one.
Too many numbers again.
He's not in the top five. But I mean, as everybody knows, the fans know, we're 10 bands in each on this the points spread at the end of the year. So I mean, I'm taking the dark horse. I got to take Perez. Checo's going up there. He's getting three. Leclerc's getting two. I agree with you, Smelty. I think Leclerc might be able to take the pole on this one.
If he gets pole, I'm rooting for him so hard to win the race. But just with the past and Leclerc at Monaco specifically, it doesn't track that way for him to get a dub, even with a pole.
I mean, but I'll kind of throw this out. Are we going to see a Ferrari strategy mix up like we have the past 2 years? Because that's pretty much what ruined his races, right?
We haven't seen that year this year.
You're right. It's been a good year.
2 years ago wasn't strategy. They couldn't just put the car under.
Real quick. And then he didn't even
get to strategy.
Well, two years ago, he got pole, and then he got messed up on pit strategy.
Two years ago was when he got the pole, and his engine killed on the formation lap.
Three years ago.
Yeah.
My bad.
Two years ago, they put water in his engine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Real quick, obviously, we're all team principals here, but... When do you actually decide the race strategy for your cars going into the GP? Is that
weeks in
advance?
100%.
But then you modify it during practice?
No, this is where we talked about it earlier in this episode. This is where Ferrari does it right. They do it real time. Who is performing well that race?
I think he's asking a different question. Is like the strategy
going into the race?
Because
before the GP starts, if your two drivers are going to have two different strategies, When does that get decided?
But they talk about that. Okay,
so that's a different thing.
Let's go to B. Let's go to C. Strategy B. Like, there's so many strategies. I think they come in here with a ton of strategies for every circumstance that pops up. So,
obviously, all change.
Weeks in advance, there's a ton of strategies that go into this race with, but I think real time, you only really know what you know when you're in the race.
Yeah, your plan A, when do you think you decide that?
So, that I think is like, so I think you have like the strategies A through M, whatever it is, and they're the same for both drivers.
Well, the alphabet's A through Z.
Well, I don't think they have 26.
I know. 26.
That's what I was. What
I started saying A2, then you know something's wrong.
You never know.
I mean, with Ferrari, they might have a freaking.
Hey, I just
want
to make sure. I don't know my 1-2-3s tonight. I want to make sure you know your ABC.
Yeah, if you hear the engineer saying we're going with Plan Z, something went very wrong. Yeah.
Again, I just got thrown in there. Public schools, maybe. That's top of his class, valedictorian, right there.
I did go to public school.
But I think to answer your question, I think they have those strategies, and they're the same for each driver going into it, and then when they make that decision comes down to practice qualifying and then how the race is going.
Sure.
So I think you have a strategy in mind going what you're going to think, and then how practice goes, how you qualify. Because then it comes down to like what tires do you start with.
For sure.
Like, so there's...
And that's what I mean. We really got to end this. But does plan A change, like in practice, going into practice three, you got plan A and what your stuff you're going to run during practice and blah, 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 whatever sessions you're doing. Does plan A change from that practice to what plan A is in the GP then, right before the race? Modify it that way, and then B and C and D and so on to M or Z, whatever, your alphabet ends.
obviously, a big fan.
That changes.
A big fan this year, Danica Patrick. I have her on speed dial. I'll give her a call after this, and we'll update next episode.
That doesn't surprise me.
We appreciate that.
Can I ask why we're getting a NASCAR driver involved?
Drive to Survive, baby.
He's just got
to
mention somebody,
that's
bro.
That's right. She was on Drive. Why was she on Drive to Survive?
I know the answer, but we don't have time to talk about it.
Okay. We'll throw it into news next week.
Sure. Okay. I'll throw Danica Patrick in the news next week. Yeah. Sure.
And everybody will be just as surprised as Drive to Survive fans were. They'll be like, what are we doing? Is this fast laps?
Oh, man.
With that, let's just wrap it up. Obviously... as always, like, comment, subscribe. Definitely subscribe on YouTube. We do have a show next week as we will be wrapping Monaco and previewing what? What is after Monaco?
Oh, what is
I can't
after
remember
Monaco? I'm not
off
actually
the top
sure.
of my noggin.
Hold, please.
Hold.
We're Canada.
Canada. That's
Canada.
Right.
Canada.
That's
yes.
right.
Track.
It's a fun track in F1.
I think that's a good track for Checo.
Canada. It's not a street track.
No, it's a good track. That's a good track for McLaren.
That's
Watch
right.
out.
I think I agree. I think that's going to be a good track for McLaren.
Well,
it's a lot of fast corners.
Again, with that, again, like, comment, subscribe. Again, one more thanks to Kev behind the cameras making this all happen.
Thanks, Kev.
With that, we'll just be back next week.
Oh!
See you guys later.
Ding.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys. Oh!